Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Rewind Wrestling Radio. I'm your host, Ted Weston. I'm here with the Temptress Witch Ivy, and we're going to bring you the best wrestling radio show on the interwebs.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Rewind Wrestling Radio, right here on the Rewind Wrestling Network. I am your host, Ted Weston. I am here with the beautiful Temptress Thick, and we are here to talk about our journey this past weekend at WrestleMania. I want to give a couple shout outs before we get moving here, baby girl. We got to shout out Kev Key.
Kev.
Key and Ivy finally got to meet in person. And then Ivy was so taken aback by Key that she passed out in the back of my van. I have photographic evidence. Like, you can't even say it didn't happen. Like, there's timestamps on all these pictures that get taken on the phone.
But can we just tell the audience about my first interaction with Key? Like,
sure.
Take it away, babe. So Key was on his way, but like it was starting to feel like he was on bullshit. And I'm like, I'm taking a nap because mama is tired. So I sit in the car, and no sooner as I sit in the car, lean back and close my eyes, I'm getting screamed at that Kev is here. And I'm like, I just took my shoes off. I'm layered, so I don't have full range of motion. And the next thing you know, the car door opens, and I'm being like cradled and scooped out of the car against my will by Key. It was like, what the fuck?
Oh my god. And again.
At least it wasn't a, oh my god, Ivy, you're so small.
Well, we adequately warned him though.
We did.
We never warned Nellio. But you know what? As much as I love you, Nellio, I'm gonna say this real quick because I'm in a feisty and fiery mood right now. Bro, you straight up went out for cigarettes and never came home. Okay? You went and got the gallon of milk and you drank that shit all by yourself because you never brought it home. We're sending you selfies. Come tailgate with us. Oh, I'm coming. You never showed.
I keep telling myself that as easily as we got wrapped up in the moments, that Nellio was wrapped up in the moments as well. That's the only way I'm getting through it.
Listen, I feel you, but you know what? On the same token, man, like, you killed me a little bit, bro.
We miss you.
We love you. And we never, ever get to see you because you're always running a million goddamn things in Florida. So, what's up?
We miss you.
That's all I'm going to say. I'm hurt.
And some of us like cigarettes too, Dad.
Yeah. So we also got to hang out with Cuz for a minute. He dropped by the tailgate for a minute, but he helped build the WrestleMania set and break down the WrestleMania set. So he was he was out in the crazy rainy Philadelphia weather for the like 4 days preceding WrestleMania, right? So he was done. He was like, I can't be out here anymore. So especially Saturday when he came around because it was cold.
Totally, totally understandable. It was cool though. He got to chill with Will and I in the car for a bit while we were waiting, since it was a little too windy on night one to tailgate at its fullest. He hung for a few minutes to, you know, chat it up.
That's cool. Yeah, I was in at NXT with my boys, and we'll talk about that in a minute. And then obviously OG was down there with us, and the Tennessee crew was almost all back together. Wild Amy did appear via Instagram for a hot minute while we were live, which was kind of cool.
She did.
Amy, we love you. And listener Chuck came by the tailgate. That was solid.
Yes.
That was solid.
Chuck is such a cool human being, so fun to interact with.
And we met some cool fucking people.
Oh, what?
Over the course of the weekend.
Like parking, we definitely like were parked near some pretty decent folks.
Yep.
And then our two additional fans that were like in front of you and I.
The guys from Connecticut.
They were cool. And I was honestly really glad that they were there both nights because we had such a freaking ball, like laughing, making jokes with them on night one that like night two, I feel like we kind of crossed that limit where we're like, all right, there's no boundaries here. We can all laugh and make jokes and say whatever the fuck we want in front of these people. So it was
absolutely
awful.
Absolutely. We had a freaking blast with them. And then there was the kid.
Oh.
Right? Chino. Right? He's like, call me Chino on the podcast, man. Chino, listen, you're something special, bro.
Listen,
you're built different.
Definitely built different.
You're built different, man. Like we're over there just trying to enjoy the night, and you're trying to start every chant ever. And listen, a big part of me wanted to be like, listen, Smark, just enjoy the show. Okay, you don't need to have something to say for everything that happens there, Smarky boy. And part of me was like, you know what though? This is where we can all be and enjoy this show like this. And yeah. I can't take that away from you. So agreed. You're built different, bro. You get a shout out.
I wish I had like a quarter of the energy.
Yo, for real.
You know, had because I don't know what supplement was involved or what else was going on there, but I wish I had a quarter of that energy. Because let me tell you, I would function so much quickly in life if I did.
Yo, and let me just say this. When Chino was like, watch out for Rock, he's got old man strength. I was like, oh no. Oh no, just stop.
It was a wild weekend.
It was.
I feel like Monday, I literally felt like I was coming off of a 3-day bender. And I'm like, holy shit, like I have not dealt with like that much chaos over the course of a weekend since I was a freaking teenager, like waking up in a field somewhere. Like it was insanity.
Oh, such a good time. Such a good time. I'm really so glad I got time. To experience it with you and OG. You know, it's so
it was
funny.
So much fun.
Because when we were going through the gift shop, right? When we were going through the pro shop, OG turned around and he was like, can you believe that we started this thing 5 years ago?
Yep.
And we've met these people.
It's amazing.
Right? And it's like, and now we're all part of each other's lives every day.
I know.
Right.
Well, and I especially thought, like, just in that comment, you know, the statement of like, this started, you know, 5 years ago related to, you know, Kofi Mania. You guys were there. That's what really prompted you guys to start up a podcast, yep. Which prompted some other, you know, ways of you guys branching out. That's where you made your connection, which then made the connection with you and I. And it's just wild. It is so wild to think that like one event literally like changed everybody's lives. It's so crazy to think that. So yeah, definitely, like definitely cool.
Like I know that I built this wonderful relationship with you and we joke so much, and I'm going to break kayfabe. I'm going to break kayfabe for a minute, babe. Okay.
All right.
So take you behind the curtain a little bit, you know, but for real, like I gained so many close friends because of this podcast. And like, you know, I don't know if when I was going through the shit that I was going through the last 2 years, if I didn't have you and Amy and OG,
yep.
And I hadn't reconnected with Chuck, and I hadn't reconnected with Will, you know, like I don't know. I don't know if I'd be in the same kind of place that I'm in now.
No, I completely concur. I mean, again, breaking kayfabe, like I met you when I was in the middle of a pretty hectic and like trying divorce. And at that point, like it had been years since I was in the industry again. It just so happened that I got a call and it was like, hey, we're looking to expand. We need some new areas. What's your area like? And I was like, yeah, let's bring it here, which led to the show that you and I first met at.
Yep.
And that was a point in my life where like, I decided to jump back into the industry in some retrospect, but I really wasn't sure where I was wanting to go. I didn't know what my place was going to be. And then, of course, that led to, like, you and I making connections and the podcast, which was supposed to be a one-time thing, by the way, which tends to be, like, a running track for my life. Because every time that I get involved and, like, it's just a one-time thing, it ends up being, like, all the time.
That's how she and I ended up in a throuple with my wife. I'm just saying for the listening audience, you know, that's where we're at.
But it's very crazy. And you know, again, thinking about what I was going through at that point in life, it was a very difficult time. You know, I was dealing with an 8-year relationship with fallout, you know, 2 children, and literally I lost myself during those 8 years. I lost my passion and all of that. And the fact that one meeting in this podcast is really what, like, brought all of us together. Like, you know, the laughs and everything that we've had on, like, a daily and weekly basis between the podcast and just off screen, you know, interactions. It's crazy to think that, like, that right there was so significant to getting me through such a rough time that I don't know how I would have made it through that without all of this. So it's so, like, wild to sit back and think, like, holy shit, man.
Yeah.
It's a lot more to us than just sitting and chatting on a weekly basis about wrestling. Like, really is.
Yeah, it's nuts. And it's really nuts to me. Like, right, and this is what, and the reason that I felt the need to go into this tonight before we get into the content. And for those of you that are listening for the content, you're like, shut up, we don't care about your shoot lives. Well, just bear with us for a minute here. This goes back to why I didn't say anything. Even though, Chino, you were being a little bit loud for me, bro, just a little bit. This is why I didn't say anything, because wrestling has this innate ability for the fans of it and the people that live it that brings people together, right? You and I met at one show for like 2 hours, and within 2 months became very close friends, right?
Yeah.
And here we are 4 years later, and every time we see each other, we're fucking inseparable.
Oh, <that's> terrible.
You know what I mean? Like,
the point that we were huddled together trying to use body heat to keep us warm at Mania.
Right? Like, it's crazy. So for those people out there who sometimes take flack for being a wrestling fan, and the people in your lives go, why do you still watch that? When are you going to grow up? Politely and coherently, tell them to go fuck themselves. And so with that being said, I want to get back on track. I have a couple things. I was so scatterbrained thinking about today's show, which, by the way, OG is the one that asked to do the show today, and he's not here tonight because he was like, I'm tired, man. You know what, OG? We're here doing the thing. We love you, brother.
I get off on Monday. Did you do notes?
I did notes tonight because I can't, like, my brain is like, right. So
not have been doing this while sitting through a very important meeting at work, but nonetheless,
you know. So I want to start by just saying I got to take my boys to their first show, right? I got to take my two older boys to NXT Stand and Deliver, and they'd never been to a show before, and
excited. They were
so hype. They were dancing. They were.
Oh my gosh, the dancing, especially to, like, because we had you know, the speaker up and we had entrance music on, and like when Cody's entrance.
Oh my god. Playing,
the dancing of both boys, and one of your boys was in the back of the van when it was time to go line up and was so excited that he went to jump out of the van, banged his head on the door, and never missed a beat. Like, it didn't even affect him.
That's right. Oh my god. And so we were up in the nosebleeds, right? Highest ticketed NXT event ever. Over 16,000 people in the Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo was so sold out for SmackDown, NXT, and Raw that they couldn't do the Titantron. They had to do the little entrance, like the old school entrance siding trons.
Wild.
Right?
That's like, holy crap.
Like, and Triple H acknowledged it on Raw. He's like, you guys have sold this stadium out so bad that we couldn't even have the Tron. Like, so we have these little rinky dink TVs that we jerry rigged for you guys to see the video package that we're showing.
They had to go back to like the Wachovia Center. So.
Right?
For those of you that don't know, Wells Fargo used to be called the Wachovia Center back in the day. So.
Yep. Oh my God, I missed that. But NXT was so good. It was so good. And my boys were literally, my 7-year-old, who normally becomes very hangry very quickly, they didn't eat their lunches before we went in. They had lunches in their backpacks in my car. They were supposed to eat them before we went in. They didn't. And then I'm like, guys, do you want me to get you some food? Do you want me to? He was like, no, Dad, I just want my NXT hat. I want an NXT hat. So I got him the NXT hat.
Bathroom break denial.
Yeah.
From H-field.
Yeah. I was like in between matches. I'm like, guys, do you want to go use the bathroom real quick? Or like, we were watching the pre-show up on the Tron because it was so cold outside that I took him in early. So we watched the pre-show inside in the stadium. And they were like, no, Dad, I'm good. The whole time. And you should have seen when Trick Williams came out. First of all, and we're going to talk about this for Pops of the Weekend, right? He's up there for my top pops for the weekend.
Yeah.
Because Trick Williams was completely over, blew the lid off the place, right?
Yep.
When Trick came out and the whole stadium was screaming, whoop that Trick. My boys were up there screaming that Trick, like the whole time.
I love that. Like, not just from like a wrestling fan or like a worker standpoint, but from a mom standpoint, like that's the situation that really hits you in all three of those marks, because yeah. I know how it feels as a fan to be mm-hmm. excited. I know how it feels as somebody who's working a crowd to hear that from a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And I know as a mom that there is nothing more enlightening than watching your kids thoroughly enjoy something. And I mean, we talked about my oldest popping for Cena a couple years back, and it was like the greatest thing that I've ever seen in my entire life. And I was it's just such a moment, like when you realize that your children, who are, you know, turning into these tiny humans, and they're always going to develop their own interests, but to mm-hmm. find out that they share an interest that you share,
yeah,
and they share it so damn passionately, it's like,
it's crazy.
You can't even put a word on it.
It's crazy. And yeah, I'm so like, the only thing that I can liken that to is when I was working the independent circuit as an announcer and commentator regularly, and I was doing an in-ring interview with he now goes by Lord Eric Black, right? Back then he was King, right? And I'm doing an in-ring with him, and he's going up against Big Dave, right? He's going up against Big Dave. Dave, we love you, brother. Big shout out, brother. and I'm trying to get some sympathy on the baby face, and I'm working the crowd, and King was mad over with the kids. The kids were like loving King, right?
That has always been a thing. The kids freaking eat up any type of like, presence that the King is involved. Like the kids just.
They love him. They love
him. It's easy to love King. Like, it really is.
And so I was trying to get some sympathy on the baby face. I was getting a little heat on myself too. I was like, man, King, you know, I love you. I respect you, brother, but I don't know if you can overcome this challenge. He's 7'2", 300 something pounds. I'm just laying it in the middle of the ring, you know, kind of packed house, because it was always only kind of packed for them. And we're talking and I'm getting booed. I'm getting booed by these little kids. And I was like, I did it. I did it. Right. And like, that's the only thing I could think of when I was watching my kids reacting to these people is like,
yeah,
that's what they were trying to do right there. That's it. You know? So that was just an awesome, awesome experience. I got to do that Saturday afternoon. And then I came out with you guys and we tried to tailgate and it was too damn windy and cold.
The wind.
It literally, we had sternos under the food and it didn't heat the food. That's how cold it was. And the sternos were lit.
We still had refrigerated mac and cheese.
We still had refrigerated mac and cheese. It
was fine though. The flavor was good.
Yeah. And we got to do WrestleMania both nights. We got to do the pro shop. Such a good time. Let's talk a little bit about your top pops for the weekend. Mm. Who did you think had the top pops for the weekend?
To be honest, there were so many pops. Like, I will say, I've been to a few, you know, wrestling events. There really wasn't too many pops that like were not mm-hmm. considered a pop. Mm-hmm. Cody, by all means. I mean, listen, that whoa.
Oh my
from
God.
The fans, like, and I even did like a watch back once I got home this week. I kind of like segmented myself out to like watch this. Mm-hmm. And I even like paid attention and I'm like, yo.
The TV doesn't do it justice.
First of all, no, the TV does it absolutely no justice, because here's the thing. You could not hear the music in there. It was the fans singing and the fans were doing the freaking whoa. And it was irregardless if there was a win. I mean, it was night one for the tag match. That freaking the first whoa that was let out was like, holy shit, this is setting the bar for where it's going to be for this entire weekend. And let me tell you, I don't think anything topped that.
No. There's one.
Okay.
I'll
let you touch on that.
He got a Road Warrior pop. And I can say that because I've been in the stadium when the Road Warriors came in.
Yeah, definitely did. But
my man got a Road Warrior pop.
But the Cody pop, I'm saying consistently across both nights, blew me away.
Absolutely. 100%. Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. Yeah.
You want to give some details about your Road Warrior pop a little bit?
Listen,
I'll let you talk about that one.
Listen, when the gong hit,
oh.
My Yeah, like you couldn't, you Can couldn't, we? Like, you and I were literally this close to each other trying to go, oh my God, is this happening? And we couldn't hear each other. That's how loud the pop was for Taker.
Can we also focus on the fact that I do not do that at wrestling events? I don't. I like to sit and take in the moment. I like to watch things very meticulously. And to be honest, I would much rather hear the pops than be a part of the pop. And it's just mm-hmm. how I've always been.
Mm-hmm.
I could not control any aspect of my body when that gong hit. Like, I was shaking. It was like, I couldn't get the words out. Like, what the fuck is this really happening? It was insanity. And I feel like you, me, and Will were all three like, shaking, bouncing up and down, and like screaming like schoolgirls, because we just could not process what we were experiencing.
Yes. And you know what's really cool is 5 years ago when Will and I went to WrestleMania 35 in New Jersey. It wasn't in New York, it was in New Jersey.
That life.
The biggest regret that OG had is that he didn't get a Taker moment. Because he had never gotten a Taker moment.
Yep.
And he was very upset about that, because there was no indication that Taker wouldn't be part of the event for 35 in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
Like, you know, he would have even just taken him coming out and doing like what he did at WrestleMania this weekend, just coming out chokeslamming somebody, right?
And I feel like at that point in time, it was still a very possible thing that Taker
Absolutely.
Would
I mean, it was before he retired. Yeah.
Right. So it was one of those things where it was almost expected for Taker to show up at a meeting.
And then,
that's what Taker does.
Yeah. And then OG was doubly upset, and he and I were both very upset by this, that Taker then went on that year to perform at Saudi.
Right.
Right. And by the way, can we just talk for a split second about the fact that whenever they showed the commercials for the Saudi shit in the stadium in Philly, Philly booed the shit out of that.
Philly was not having it with the Saudi shit.
No. People are screaming blood money mania. People are screaming like it was crazy, right?
Hold on. The blood money mania chant was absolutely hilarious. Like it really was.
Yeah. And I'm 100% here for it.
I mean, it was one of those things where like, yep, they're right on point with it.
Yep. if I was talking about performers for the weekend, like that had matches, and we're talking about the pops for their matches, I'm thinking it goes Cody, Rhea, Trick for the weekend.
Yeah. Oh God, but, Rhea's pop.
Oh my God. Rhea's pop was incredible to the point where like the crowd completely turned on Becky.
100%. Which really surprised me because Becky and like I almost feel like it's always 50-50. Like Becky has quite the following and always has.
Right.
So the fact that, I mean, you almost heard no pop for Becky.
Yeah.
Like Rhea came out, and if you compare the Rhea pop and the Becky pop, it's like here and like here.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Crazy. Crazy. And I don't know. But if you take non-matches into consideration, okay, I think it goes Cody and Taker are kind of tied. And then it goes Rhea. And then it goes Damian Priest and CM Punk at the beginning of night two.
What?
The crowd came un-freaking glued like, when Damian Priest's music hit.
It was nuts. Like, the crowd completely unraveled at their seams for that. And even though, like, that was, I really do think that was a very highly predictable thing.
Yeah, I mean, I called it on the show last week.
We've all talked about that. We talked about that numerous times in conversation. And then even while we were sitting in the stands, like, we talked to the people around us about that. And the fact that everybody, like, you know, kind of was expecting it, it still got that big of a pop was like nuts.
Yeah. It's crazy. It was so crazy. Surreal. You know, surreal is the best word I have for it. Absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome. And by the way, anyone that's sitting there saying, oh, the Philly crowd wasn't really into it night one. Well, first of all, A, it was cold as shit. And B, your TVs didn't do it justice. I promise you that. And I'm going to come.
Watch.
Conrad Thompson was on 83 Weeks with Eric Bischoff, and he was like, yeah, I was not in the stadium, but it really felt like, because it was so cold, the Philly crowd just was not into it. And I was like, dude, you don't understand. The crowd was 100% into the show. They were screaming the whole night. Well, it's just cold.
I also think, not just because of the cold, but what a lot of people don't realize, and again, this has to do with at least knowing like the sound and audio setups for these type of events. People don't realize how the link is set up, right? So the link it becomes a freaking wind tunnel when it's that windy, and it literally just swirls around. And when you have wind just swirling back and forth in there, that wind is going to impact what that audio is picking up. So you're hearing more audio coming from down below. You're not hearing the freaking echoes that are just bellowing out of that place because of how much wind there is.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, that was the loudest wrestling event that I've ever been to in my life. The fans were louder than any of the pyro shit, which is crazy.
Yeah. Insanity.
When you hear fans woeing with Cody Rhodes's music over the freaking fireworks that are being blasted off, what does that tell you?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
So I don't care who says that. They're talking out their ass. End of story. I was there in person.
Yeah.
What it sounded like.
Let's talk about Heat. Heat for the weekend. Who did you think had, you know, who were some people you thought had some really good heat?
That one's a tough one, and I think it's because there were just so many freaking pops. Dom definitely got some heat.
Oh,
Stereo.
Yeah. It wasn't as loud as I thought it would be, though.
It wasn't, which was very surprising, but it was there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an interesting match overall too, though. And I mean, like, you know, the crowd was going wild numerous times during that.
Yeah.
I mean, Dom definitely got himself some heat. I think Logan Paul got a little bit too. Like he was catching some boos and stuff like that, which was, you know, kind of interesting to me, especially with the younger crowd, because we all know that Logan Paul's kind of a big hit.
Yeah.
I was surprised to see him getting, you know, booed a little bit. But when you put him up against people like KO and Orton, these are two
It's
guys.
easier to boo him.
It's a lot easier to boo him.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I mean, those were two, you know, that definitely stood out to me. And then of course some of the interferences that occurred during the main event night too.
Yeah.
Got quite some fan judgment.
Yeah. I would also say Melo, man. Melo got some massive heat. And you know who else got heat that wasn't supposed to get heat, right? Is Lyra Valkyria. When she defended against Roxy, the Philly crowd, even though they knew Roxy was the heel in the story, and they did the package right before the match. I mean, it was hard to not know that,
Oh,
right? But they were
you mean
Roxy, Roxy,
Roxy?
Roxy. Lyra was
Wow.
they booed they were like
So
booing her.
I feel like Roxy is one of those heels, though, that like you can't help but get behind. Like, so that I'm not over. I mean, I'm surprised to hear that it was that, you know, that different between the two. But you know as well as I know, with a good heel, sometimes you just got to go heel when it comes to the match. You want the heel to be the winner.
Yeah.
You're doing it right. And if she got more, like, if she didn't get nearly as much heat being the heel, then that tells me she's being the right type of heel.
Yeah.
She's winning the
Agree.
fans over playing the heel.
Agree. Agree. And I think Becky also had real heat, which was kind of
She
funny.
did. But you know what? I do have to say, despite the fact that Rhea got the pops and all of that, can we please just acknowledge the fact, like, way to freaking go, Becky, because Becky was out there wrestling her ass off with the flu.
Yep.
Like,
Yep.
homegirl was for real sick, and to see her be able to go and give us a solid match while
Yep.
she was feeling like absolute crap is just amazing. Like, I've had the
Absolutely.
flu. It puts me down for days. I am not going to be out there bumping around in a ring or anything nearly to the level that she did. Like, we
Yeah.
still got a very solid match. The time for the match went decent. You know, it wasn't a quick rush squash type of thing. Becky went out there and showed the hell out despite being sick as a freaking dog. So, like, hats off to Becky. Like, that is one tough woman.
Yeah, for real. For real. All right. If I was going to give you my top three matches, I think most of the fans could probably guess this at this point. Most of our listeners could probably guess this at this point from me. Cody Knight 2's match was incredible. I was, you know, it was it's I would count it among some of the best one of the best main events I've ever seen. For anything, right? For anything. Rhea and Becky had a hell of a match. It was incredible. And
Beautiful match.
Trick and Mello knocked it out of the park too. So I feel like I had one match from each show that I went to that really topped me out. What are your thoughts?
I definitely have to agree. Main event completely stole the weekend, in my opinion. And I've seen a lot of things online. I've heard, you know, just other opinions out there. Really, overall, this was an extraordinarily perfectly put together Mania. Like, there were very little flaws.
Yeah.
So, you know, of course, the main event. I also have to say, like, holy freaking cow, that the Sami Zayn match.
Oh my God, Sammy and Gunther.
Oh my God. There were like instances in that match where I'm like, they're killing each other. That was a great match. Like,
Yeah.
both worked very, very well together. There was a spot where I looked over at you and I was like, holy shit, was that a botch? That looked like a botch. His heel slipped. But it ended up not being. I did watch it at a different angle, and it just, you know, the way that it looked from our point of view,
it looked like Sammy slipped.
Like, I was so worried from a worker standpoint. The way that I saw that happen, I was like, oh my God, is Gunther's neck okay? And yes. I was like, and then I was trying to watch because I'm like, are they going to call this match early? Because what is going on with his neck? I give him credit though. Gunther sold the shit out of that because I was real worried. So that was another match that I would say it had to have been for me one of the matches of the weekend. Mm-hmm. And then of course Rhea and Becky. I mean, freaking tore down the house. Like, what a way to start it off.
And I gotta say, R-Truth getting his moment and finally getting a WrestleMania win and getting a tag title run is, I'm here for it. Like, 1,000,000%. I'm here for it.
I think we've all collectively agreed that, like, R-Truth, I think it was Will's words, R-Truth is a national treasure and needs to be protected at all costs. We've talked about how this guy is so versatile. He can do anything. They've handed him one of the shittiest things to do in WWE, and he has done it, and he's done it flawlessly and effortlessly, and he's made it freaking work. Give that man his damn flowers, because I'm telling you right now, he deserved it. And the "you deserve it" chants, like, warmed my heart during that. Because he did. He deserved every minute. He deserved this years ago.
Yes.
And he was just not getting it. It was excellent.
Agree. We can continue to gush over Mania, but there's other stuff we gotta touch on here, you know. As we're recording this, it's the Thursday after Mania. So let's talk about the Raw after Mania.
Okay.
The Raw after Mania, it hit, right? It was on all cylinders. It was so good. It opened with this beautiful segment from Cody and Hunter, and then The Rock came out. And he did this awkward belt thing with Cody where the Philly crowd legitimately started chanting, "This is awkward." Mm-hmm. This is awkward. And I'm sorry, there are all kinds of heat that you want to get on a heel.
Yeah.
The crowd chanting, "This is awkward," isn't it?
No.
Right? So I'm kind of glad that Rocky's going away for a minute, you know, because he said, "I'm going away for a while," and da-da-da-da, you know.
Yeah.
I'm kind of glad that's happening.
Although, I would like to know, deep down, what did he give to Cody?
Yeah.
I have a couple of, like, theories that, like, I've kind of read into, looked apart. And it's one of those things that just my storytelling brain, my wrestling industry brain, is kind of telling me that it's going to lead into something more, which I think we kind of already figured that. Like, yeah, okay, Rock's been away for a bit, but, like, he'll be back. And I think that that's going to then develop into something else. I think there's going to be, you know, however long down the line, we're going to get an ode to, this is what happened Raw after Mania. We're going to see the footage of, like, you know, the handoff, whatever. And I've seen a couple of fan theories online. And at first I was like, no, but then something connected back. Because if you watch the presser after Mania, Cody talks about the watch.
Mm.
The watch that his father pawned off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they gave it back to him. And I almost feel like we're getting the story where what was handed to Cody might just be his dad's ring, his Hall of Fame ring. And I think we're going to get some kind of a story that Cody had to pawn the ring to get to where he is, to start up AEW, to build himself up, to come back to WWE. And maybe that's what we're going to get. That's one of the theories that I'm like, that would be interesting, because I do feel like, again, I could be reading into it too far, but with the watch comment being put out there, and specifically the story of the watch having been pawned, and the way that they are really painting a picture with Cody to almost directly mirror Dusty, I'm wondering if that's the tie-in that we're going to get.
Hmm. I think that that's a distinct possibility. I think another possibility would be they tie it back to what did Rock whisper to Cody when he pulled him in for the hug, when he gave up his spot. And I think that the conversation that he and Cody had, that the way that they're going to play it anyway, right, is going to come back to, I'll give you my take on the house if you let me main event the card. And I bet Rocky handed him a check.
Could have been.
Because Rocky's gonna be, then Rocky's gonna come back and try and put some sympathy on himself. I upheld my end of the bargain. I told you if I main evented WrestleMania, I would give you my cut of the house. You know, so I can totally see that being a thing too.
Yeah, that would also make sense.
Yeah.
And I've definitely seen a couple of like fan theories out there. But somebody had mentioned, they mentioned like three different things. I forget exactly what the other two were, but when they said the Hall of Fame ring, I was like, no, probably not. But then when I really thought, I was like, well, they did the pawn thing with the watch. So I'm like, maybe it's going to be something like that, yeah. You know? So, I mean, I feel like it's, you know, it's always a possibility. For all we know, he gave him absolutely nothing. And they're just going to figure out along the way, like, what did he put in his hand? And they're going to come up with something completely off base from what anybody's thinking right now. So, you know, it could be anything. But I do quickly, before we, like, really get further into it, I do want to say I think this is the first true WrestleMania that we've gotten in several years. But also, this is the first Raw after Mania that has, like, literally held that Raw after Mania vibe.
Yep.
Like, I don't typically tune in weekly. Like, I wait until we have a few episodes, and then I go back and I catch up. And, like, I had to see what was going on. After the Mania that we just had, I could not miss Raw after Mania.
Right.
And I think this is the first Raw after Mania that felt like a Raw after Mania for me.
Maybe for the first time since Goldberg.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a while. It definitely is. And I know that we've talked about that, you know, over the last couple of years, how everybody looks forward to Raw after Mania. It's the biggest Raw of the year. And I know that we've often been dissatisfied with what we've gotten as of late. This one, I think, is up there. Like, this Raw after Mania gave us that feeling again. This Mania gave us that feeling again.
It did.
I mean, I said it to you guys, like, this is the first time in a very long time that I've been able to not just attend an event, but to watch an event from a fan perspective and not from a worker perspective and thoroughly enjoy it. Like, that was big for me.
Yeah.
That was very big for me because it's been a long time watching any wrestling, whether it's WWE, AEW, TNA, whatever, that I have been able to look at it and just be a fan.
Yeah.
And I got that this weekend. And that was such an invigorating feeling because I don't get that very often.
Yeah. It's crazy. And I'm super excited to see what they do next. I think that the whole show, the whole Raw after Mania was really good. I do want to talk about the Fatal 4-Way for just a second. CM Punk holding Drew's foot, right? And costing him the main event. Which I think is great. I don't think Punk's going to be ready for Backlash. I think that they have to hold this match for SummerSlam. I don't think that they can do this one at Clash at the Castle.
No, it's got to be big. I think this is one of the go big or go home scenarios.
Right.
And I think we're going to get a lengthy build. And I think SummerSlam makes sense in terms of time frame to really execute that and make it, you know, come to a head and finally like put a rest to that story.
Right.
I agree with you there for sure.
So here's what I kind of envision happening in my brain. I just want to bounce it off you.
Okay.
I see Damian retaining against Jay at Backlash.
Okay.
And then I see Drew winning the title in Scotland for Clash of the Castle.
Right.
And then Punk and Drew having the title fight at SummerSlam.
When's Clash of the Castle?
I want to say it's June something or another, or July something or another.
So I do think that makes sense. Because let me just say, first of all, I was pleased with the cash in with Priest. I like that he held the money in the bank, because it's been, how long has it been since we had a cash in at Mania?
Long time since Seth.
It's been a long time since we've had a cash in at Mania. So getting to, like, when I tell you every box of like my wrestling fan fever dreams was checked this weekend, it really was. Because the idea of Money in the Bank cash in is always a big deal. And to be able to like just experience that was crazy. But I think that, you know, Damian Priest is great. I think he is deserving of holding that title. I think he surely has proven himself. But I don't see the longevity for him with that championship like we had with Roman or some other people. And I think that, you know, Drew and Damian having their match, because you know there's going to be, you know it's going to happen. You know they're going to want to do it at Clash. And I don't think that they will allow Drew to take an L in Scotland.
Not 2 years in a row.
No, I don't think not. They will not. I don't see that. That would be horrible decision making on WWE's part.
Right.
And it would be very hurtful to Drew.
Right.
And I don't think they will do that. So, yeah, I could definitely see that. And then again, keeping up with that long term storytelling, it'll come back to Punk turning on Drew at Mania, costing him the title, and all of these little segments will trickle back to give us that build for Punk versus Drew. And yeah, it would work. I really think that's a good, I think it's a good timeline. I think the storytelling aspect of it will make complete sense. And I don't think anybody would get hurt in the process.
Agree. And here's where I think, and so my long-term booking brain kicks in here, right? And I think if you have Punk McIntyre 1 at SummerSlam, you can have Team Punk versus Team McIntyre at Survivor Series in War Games.
Okay.
And that's where Drew gets his win back.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rubber match is at 41.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It's even if Punk loses the title somewhere along the line.
But they don't need the title
in that fight.
No.
And like if Drew costs him the title at some point along that line, you know what I mean?
It'll cost him the title
at the Rumble or whatever.
It will give you that 1 year to tell that story
and
wrap it up so that it doesn't have a stagnant point eventually, the way that we've all talked about the Bloodline storyline having. There was a point, I mean, we all talked about it. There was a point where we're like, guys, what the hell are we doing here? Wrap this up already.
Yep.
And it was just so, we were over it. As fans, as people who were, you know, have the booking mindset, we were over it because it's like, shit or get off the pot already. What the hell are you doing here? So I think that Mania to Mania is a good stretch to be able to work out all the details of that and then put it to rest.
Agree. So I think that we got a great Raw after Mania. All right. Now I've got to get a little serious about the rest of the week of wrestling here. Mm-hmm. I've been saying since the beginning, and I didn't. I'm going to preface this. Okay.
Okay.
I have said since the beginning I want AEW to be successful.
I think we all have, and I think we all did.
And even in my criticisms have come with a, I'm saying this because as a fan, I want them to be better.
Yeah.
The bullshit Dynamite that happened last night. I turned off my TV. I didn't even see Ospreay come out and do his shtick. I turned it off.
Funny that you say that, because I did not watch Dynamite live, but as I was scrolling and killing time, and I knew about the segment and all of that, I had to go look it up. And immediately, my thought was, this is bullshit.
It was stupid. It was stupid. And
this
so,
is one of the dumbest moves for a company.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very unprofessional, very immature. You are not making a good name for yourself.
I'm going to go ahead and say this. AEW made the business so much better by opening its doors. It
and
did.
Utilizing some of the talent that came in that many of us were saying are not being utilized. It was giving the TV time. And we've all complained, you're bringing in too many people and you're doing nothing with them. This is what got WWE on the chopping block with this type of shit. And but again, I mean, it was working. And I know I initially complained a lot. I wasn't a fan of like the timed matches, but it started to make sense to me after a while. And I'm like, okay, I actually kind of dig this a little bit because it helps us to, you know, it just helps to keep it actually like cleaner.
Right.
And then the issue for me has always been the storytelling, or lack thereof. And we've had a couple of times where I'm like, they're getting a little bit better with this. So I agree with you. It's one of those things where I wanted it to be successful. I wanted it to defy the odds and do something different. And there have been certain points where AEW has shown that they are capable of doing those things. Not as quickly as I would like, but they've started to kind of jump on the wagon with doing some of those things, the little minor things that I was complaining about as a wrestling fan. But this.
They're actively hurting the business now.
They are. They are.
And I'm going to say this as a wrestling fan and as the father of wrestling fans. Okay. I have a 7-year-old who every day after he finishes his schoolwork goes upstairs and plays with his wrestlers and makes dream matches. And he's got this giant fucking ottoman of wrestlers. And some of them are mine from when I was a kid that I gave to him and his brother. And some of them are ones that he's bought with his own damn money. From birthday cards and from, you know, whatever. And some of them are ones that he's gotten as gifts over the years. And he makes these dream matches. And he comes up with some of the most creative shit I've ever seen. It's so awesome. And then I realized, probably about a week ago, Tony Khan is a 7-year-old playing with action figures.
Absolutely.
He is not a fucking booker.
That is the best analogy that I've heard so far.
He's a 7-year-old playing with action figures because his action figures are real live people and he's a billionaire and he doesn't give a fuck.
Add in there with like severe issues of even consideration for what fans want. I even go that far.
How do you have a roster that has Bryan Danielson, Adam Copeland, Christian Cage, Chris Jericho, Adam Cole, okay, Keith Lee? You had Sting for 4 years. Okay. Sting.
Up until recently, Matt and Jeff Hardy.
Matt and Jeff Hardy. Okay. How do you have this roster with all of these people who have drawn millions and millions of people over the years? And you're drawing 750 to 800,000 every week. You know what that is? It's terrible fucking booking. And when you're in this business, and listen, I can't claim that I've ever been in the business to the level that AEW and WWE are. I can't. You know, I know that I've never been there. Okay. I'm not sitting here in my basement, you know, talk, you know, being a basement dweller as who was it that called us basement dwellers? It was
some asshole that we don't.
Camille. It was Camille. It was Camille when we had Camille on. She called us basement dwellers, right? You know, I'm not just some basement dweller that has no idea though, right? I've worked, I've booked, I've sat in the creative meetings at a much smaller level, but you know what? At that much smaller level, we still had some fucking consistency with what we were looking for. And we were still trying to put asses in the seats, and we were still trying to fucking do right by the workers and put them in the best environment possible to be successful. And when you have these people that should be lifting up your programming and they're not, you have Mercedes Moné, you have Okada, you have Ospreay, you still can't break a million. You know why? Because people won't tune in for your bullshit because you don't do anything that's worth their time.
And as somebody who has worked many events, somebody who has helped book events, somebody who has talked to other workers in a locker room, somebody who has, you know, had the experience on a much smaller scale, I can tell you I have worked some crap indie shows that have been better and less painful to watch and or follow than this AEW shit. And that blows me away. It blows me away.
So here's the bottom line as far as I'm concerned. Because, you know, admittedly, we don't put out content as much as we used to. We have shoot lives. I'm sorry, guys. Like I said, we're not just basement dwellers. We have lives that we have to live here. Okay.
Professionals.
Professionals. That's right. You have to stop catering to this internet bullshit. And it's funny because we're a podcast, right? Like you would think that we would be the people that you're supposed to be catering to, but you're not, because you're not putting out a quality product. And all we want is a quality product. I don't give a shit about Ospreay versus Okada 8 million. I don't give a shit about Flippy Shit 5,000 ladder match. I don't give a shit about any of it. What I give a shit about is having a quality product, and that's what you promised us. You promised us an alternative that would be a quality product. You haven't stood by that. You haven't stood by that. And you know what? If you wanted to be a quality wrestling product, the second Scott D'Amore got fired and over at TNA, your ass would have scooped him up. Because he knew how to control a locker room. He knew how to work with the boys and put out a great fucking product. And you chose not to do it. You chose not to do it. Why? Because it would upset you with your little toy box.
The AEW is single-handedly causing their own demise. But they are the ones that are going to be bitching and putting blame on the industry as a whole when they completely fall under.
And you know what? I heard this comparison today. I was listening to some shows on the way home from work today. And now I can't get it out of my head. And it's so funny because when AEW opened its doors, I called it WCW 2.0. Right? I was like, oh man, a Rhodes is running a wrestling company and it's based out of, you know, it's based out of the South. And it's on TNT. Oh, man, it's WCW 2.0. And then I started calling the Dark Order NWO 2.0 because everyone was joining the Dark Order, right? But goddamn, if this isn't some Vince Russo shit from WCW 2000. That's what this is. This is some Vince Russo bullshit.
And
I can hear Vince Russo now, you know. But Vince, I can see Vince Russo now, bro, this is not anything I would ever do, bro. I don't know what you're talking about, bro. Yes, you fucking do, Vince. You fucking ruined that company. So I was a WCW fan. I was a WCW fan. I have, I keep forgetting we're audio only now. Okay. I'm pointing to my Wolfpack foam hand from my first wrestling show when I was a kid. I was a WCW fan. I'm holding up my Sting mask from my first wrestling show in WCW when I was a kid. Okay. I loved the shit out of WCW. I fucking hated what it became in 1999 going into 2000. I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
I turned the channel because of it. And now AEW, yeah, who I had a hard time digesting anyway, because there's just so much wrestling. And they were so catering to the Twitter nonsense bullshit. Now I feel like I don't have a reason to watch them, because I feel like it's the same thing. They didn't learn the lesson 24 years later.
And over and over and over. It is so unfortunate, though, because some of the names that AEW has acquired are names that either are automatically a big draw no matter where the hell they go.
Mm-hmm.
Or these are people who voluntarily went there in hopes of something different, something new. And I know a lot of people like to use the lesser demanding scheduling as like the defense. Well, of course you're going to have a lesser demanding schedule when you can't draw a fucking crowd.
Can't sell merch, can't draw a crowd. Stores won't even carry the AEW toys anymore because they sit on the shelf for months and months and months because nobody knows who the fuck the people are.
Yep. And it pains me for some of the people who are with them. You know, take Edge and Christian, for example. These are guys that are going to be a draw no matter where they go. They're one of arguably the greatest tag teams that we've had, especially of like the late 90s, early 2000s era of wrestling. These are guys that would fucking book out events like crazy if they were independents. I'm telling you right now, from a booking standpoint, like imagine if those guys were running into indie shows. Indie shows would be packed specifically for having those names on their card. And the sad thing is, they would get more engagement, more enrichment, and a whole hell of a lot more attention if they were working indie shows right now.
Yep.
That is sad.
Yep.
It's so sad.
And then for Will Ospreay to go on after I turned my TV off and take shots at Hunter for quote unquote sleeping his way into his position. Bro, did you watch the show? Yeah, you know what? You're right. He's in the position because he married daddy's little girl.
Right.
But bro, did you watch the show? Because if you watched the show, you would be in a, you'd be thinking twice about saying that shit. Because
mm-hmm.
the show was incredible. So here's what I'm going to say. I know people want us to be able to talk about AEW. It's been one of the criticisms of our show for the last 3 years. You know, you guys don't talk about AEW enough. You talk all about WWE. Da, da, da. Well, I'll tell you what. This is what I'm going to say to everybody. When AEW earns me back as a viewer, I'll be there and I'll talk about it. In the meantime, I'm better than you. And you know it. See you next week, fans.